There's an old saying, you are what you eat. A balanced and nutritious diet is not just essential for maintaining a healthy body, but also a sharp and active mind. Despite decades of interventions, Southern Africa still faces widespread malnutrition, especially among children. However, while many do not have enough to eat, rapid urbanization and changing diets are now producing a second silent emergency, overnutrition or obesity. In this edition of Feeding Hungry Cities, Southern Africa speaks on food security. We look at the double burden of undernutrition and overnutrition, and the threat to the region's health. All across Southern Africa, families struggle to put enough food on the table. For young children, undernutrition can be particularly devastating.
We talk about the first 1,000 days of life, and this is actually from the moment of conception to when there's children are very young. And these are the crucial years, because if kids don't get the right nutrition, the diverse diet and enough micronutrients, then they don't develop physically. They become stunted, which means they just don't grow physically. And it's not only that. It's also that their brains don't develop. It really has an impact on the physical and mental well-being of kids. And that's something they carry with them for the rest of their lives. You can never catch up those first couple of years.
The first 2 years of a child's life, as World Food Programme spokesperson David Orr explains, are considered the window of opportunity to prevent largely irreversible damage caused by early childhood undernutrition. Undernutrition is directly or indirectly responsible for 3.5 million child deaths in Africa every year. According to Mr. Orr, the impact of nutrition goes far beyond our own individual health.
Undernutrition costs a society in terms of lost productivity to the economy later on, because the child will not be as healthy or as efficient a worker. It'll result in lost education at school. The child maybe will miss days or drop out altogether because of hunger. And there are actually studies being done at the moment, a cost of hunger study into some countries in Africa. But where, for example, this kind of study has been done in Latin America, it has been found that typically undernutrition and malnutrition has cost a country on average about 6% of gross domestic product. And that is huge.
Professor Michael Radolph is the director of the Siyakhana Initiative, an AFSAN partner organization at Wits University in Johannesburg.
How would you define nutritious food for your average ordinary person that does not know all these terms?
Look, I think the key factor there is a range of different foods that, you know, on the one hand you need your protein, carbohydrates and fats sort of on a general level. But what's very important in South Africa is to meet the micronutrient needs, such as the iron, the vitamin A's, the vitamin B's, the other minerals. And the most important source of those important minerals and vitamins is from green leafy vegetables, from a range of different vegetables and fruits and herbs. And in this way, by providing people with those micronutrient levels, plus the, of course, the carbohydrates for energy, etc., the protein for growth, that will ensure somebody a good and healthy diet. And that we really also, on the other hand, need to make sure that we avoid the damaging things, such as too much salt, too much sugar, and too much fat.
In their survey of Southern African cities, the African Urban Food Security Network collected data about the diets of poor urban households in 11 cities. The research found that many food insecure families eat smaller or fewer meals a day when faced with food shortages. Many households also say they often do not eat their preferred diet or are not able to afford nutritious food.
Within the AFSAN data, we asked a series of questions about what people are eating, and we broke all food types down into these 12 broad categories: cereals, meats, fruit and vegetables, dairy, etc. And out of this range of 12, we found an average household were eating 6, which on first pass doesn't sound too bad. But when we looked at what those actually were, virtually every household was eating some kind of cereal. So that's bread, or it's rice, or it's maize. But the next most commonly consumed items were other, and when we looked at it, other was basically tea and coffee, followed by foods made with the sugar and foods made with fats. So three out of the six consumed were pretty well nutritionally meaningless.
Jane Battersby is the South African manager of AFSAN and researcher with the African Center for Cities. She and the other AFSAN researchers found that for many people, the food situation goes bad to worse when extra expenses weigh in.
We also found that there's a distinct hungry season. So people adjust their diet at different times of the year. So we found people going hungry in January and in winter. And what this speaks to is the poorer households were spending well over half their income on food. Now, as soon as you have something that either increases the cost of food or there's other expenditures that households have to make or a reduction in income, suddenly the purchasing patterns change and people eat worse. And if you think about it, the kinds of precarity that people are living in, you know, food becomes one of those things that as a survival strategy you'll cut back on your food, which as a short-term strategy is okay, but if this has happened repeatedly, it has long-term health and development impacts.
The question of nutrition in cities seems to be about two aspects. First, if people are getting enough to eat. Second, what are they eating? It's the middle of the month, and Gertrude Williams is looking forward to a nutritious meal at the end of a long day, even for someone as determined as she is to eat healthily. It's not always easy on a tight budget. Ramatamo Sohai speaks to her about rising food costs and how this affects her monthly purchases.
Tell me about the pricing of the food. We know that recently the price is also quite high. Are you not affected with that?
Definitely, I am affected. I mean, if you look at a packet of apples, it's 20 rand. If you eat one apple a day, how much does it cost? You know, if you buy a packet of carrots, it's 15 rand. If you buy, you know, broccoli, you're talking 15 rand. If you buy spinach, one bunch of spinach, it's already 8 rand. So definitely prices have gone up and it's quite difficult to be able to sustain eating healthy food.
Where do you buy most of your food stuff?
It depends on where they're special. There's Pick n Pay, there's Checkers and there's fruit and veg stores. So I go and see, you know, what can I find at a cheaper price.
How much do you spend on food for your family?
About 2,000 rand a month. That's now when we really eat healthy. Definitely not enough. And this is now excluding luxuries, it's just basic food.
So what happens if you run out of food maybe in the middle of the month?
Yeah, that becomes difficult. You know, one ends up going back to, you know, what we are used to a staple food, you know, which is pap, you know, and millet rice. So that's when the danger kicks in because then you can't afford to eat what you have to eat.
While much of the region struggles with undernutrition, rapid urbanization and changing lifestyles is also giving rise to another problem on the other end of the nutrition spectrum, overnutrition or obesity. This double burden poses a new threat to health systems in the region.
We have what we call a double burden of malnutrition. On one side, of course, you have undernutrition, but on the other hand, you also have this kind of a new phenomenon that is coming up, overnutrition.
John Msuya is Associate Professor of Economic and Human Nutrition at Sokoine University of Agriculture, Tanzania. As a nutritionist, rising levels of hypertension, diabetes and other lifestyle diseases worries him. In urban areas where life is always on the go, there's big temptations for quick meals, which are often unhealthy.
We still need more nutrition education because, like now, with the changing socio-economic, you know, situation in the country, a lot of monetary economy is coming in, and of course, people tend to find, you know, more convenient foods, especially in the urban areas. And unfortunately, this is also extending to the rural areas. You know, the kind of foods that we call junk foods are becoming very popular. You know, the fried potato chips. And you know, this kind of foods are becoming very common, more convenient when it comes to the lifestyle of the urban areas. People just want to eat quick and go with their business. As nutritionists, we call them, you know, empty calories because they just have calories, but you know, they don't have the other nutrients like, you know, the micronutrients, vitamins and minerals. So I think this is affecting, you know, much of the population because you have people who eat this kind of junk foods, you know, from morning to night, you know, for 7 days a week. So it's really a threat now, I think.
41-year-old Margaret Mpela started her struggle to lose weight in February 2012. After receiving advice about her health from her doctor, she took a hard look at her dietary choices. She also started an exercise plan. Since then, she's cut out heavy foods like pap, cheese and cakes, and stocks her food with more healthy alternatives.
You see, in the fridge, I've got some cold drink is tap, and then here in this cafetin is beetroots, and then I've got the cucumber here, When I'm going to shopping, I start with cucumber and lettuce because I must also eat green veggies. And the other stuff is macaroni. So we are not eating a lot of it, just a small portion.
What is milk doing there? I also see the packet of milk.
I'm not drinking milk. And then the chocolate is for the kids, but they don't eat chocolate every day. You see the Rondo margarine, we used to use it when we are baking some cookies. I used to drink before I want to lose weight, but since I lose weight, I'm not drinking anymore.
The urban poor often rely on heavy starches and dense carbohydrates to fill rumbling stomachs. This can pack on weight with little actual nutritional value. On the other hand, both the urban poor and those more well-off are tempted by the cheap and quick foods on offer from the booming fast food industry. South Africa's capital, Johannesburg, is probably the most affluent city in the region and home to many of the region's fast food chains. For busy urban residents, the addiction to fast food may be hard to change.
Why do you buy fast foods?
I think I buy fast food because I'm too lazy to make food for myself at home. I'm always tired because of work and all the stuff that you do at home, you know? So you don't get time to prepare food for yourself. I don't see any problem with that.
Wandile Zwane, Director of Social Development of the City of Johannesburg, says that it's not about giving up the fast food that so many enjoy, but making small change. He tells Simpiwe Kweja that the city's future health is about choices.
Why do a lot of people choose fast food?
Fast food is easy. You don't have to cook or a story. And the fat is nice because when you eat it, you know, like it just goes down your mouth and you can, you know, so you want to wipe your face and you get shiny. No, on a serious note. And through the healthy lifestyle in Johannesburg, we want to gradually get to a point where we are getting people to make a choice. You can go to KFC and actually ask for grilled chicken. It's just slowly but surely, and we are hoping that through our campaign in partnership with all the stakeholders, we'll get to a point when our people will start beginning to supplement what they eat.
Nutritionist Louise Bembridge says the larger problem is not knowledge, but putting what people know into practice.
A lot of people do have a basic knowledge of what's right and what's wrong. Whether they implement it or not is a very different story, because people are at very different places all the time. And unless you are in a good space in your mind and wanting to lose the weight and wanting to be healthy, then often people don't do it.
Bembridge isn't buying the excuse that it's too expensive to eat healthy.
My advice would be to take the time to be healthy because it is worth it. It's an extra maybe 5-10 minutes at the end of the day to make a lunch to take to work or to make dinner when you get home. And if you took the money that was spent on the fast foods for lunch or dinner that people are spending and you take that for the week and then go and buy groceries with it, you would probably find that by Friday you've got money left over. So if people take the time and think about it, then they actually do save money and they are a lot more healthy at the end of the day.
Both undernutrition and overnutrition are twin issues of the same problem. To grow and prosper economically and socially, Southern Africa's citizens require access to enough healthy and nutritious food for body and mind to function effectively. There is growing recognition that the food security and nutritional status of poor people in urban areas are matters of concern in Southern Africa. Yet, relatively little information is available to guide sound policymaking. Likewise, there is very little attention to obesity as a health issue in Southern Africa. What is clear is that there is an urgent need to take into account nutritional influences in the places where urban dwellers live, work, and play.
Hunger, African city, people know. Security.